The white light of the sun worked hard. Even the birds wavered on the crest of the heat waves. Under the leafy grapevines, the grapes hung heavy. She had readied the large, rectangular sheet of newsprint paper over an even bed of tractor-leveled soil, then placed the wooden frame to hold the paper down. Now, her basket beneath the bunches, Estrella pulled the vine, slit the crescent moon knife across the stem, and the cluster of grapes was guided to the basket below. Carrying the full basket to the paper was not like the picture on the red raisin boxes Estrella saw in the markets, not like the woman wearing a fluffy bonnet, holding out the grapes with her smiling ruby lips, the sun a flat orange behind her. The sun was white, and it made Estrella's eyes sting like an onion, and the baskets of grapes resisted her muscles, pulling their magnetic weight back to earth. The woman with the red bonnet did not know this. Her knees did not sink in the hot, white soil, and she did not know how to pour the baskets of grapes inside the frame gently and spread the bunches evenly on top of the newsprint paper. She did not remove the frame, straighten her creaking knees, the bend of her back, set down another sheet of newsprint paper, reset the frame, then returned to the pisca again with the empty basket, row after row, sun after sun. The woman's bonnet would be as useless as Estrella's own straw hat under a white sun so mighty it toasted the green grapes to black raisins. Alejo snipped his own flesh and dropped his knife. He pressed the wound between his lips, tasted mud and salt and tin, and then heard a lost child's wailing over the hundreds of rows. The vast field of grapevines was monotonous, without beginning, without ending, always the same to the piscadores and then to their children. Another child had wandered off, and he could hear the scolding of a mother who was so relieved to find her daughter, she was angry. Alejo thought of his own grandmother working in Edinburgh, Texas, ironing, babysitting, cleaning houses, cutting cucumbers with lemon, salt, and powdered chile to sell at the swap meets, or making tamarind and hibiscus juices to sell after Sunday Mass. She would do anything to allow her grandson to get schooling. Right this minute, as he pressed his lips to his wound, he imagined his grandma walking down Chavez Street, cutting across the park to get to the bus stop. Alejo readjusted his L.A. Dodger cap and tried to set the wooden frame with one hand. The other, with its torn skin, seemed painfully useless. Estrella was not more than 4 when she first accompanied the mother to the fields. She remembered crying just as the small girl was wailing now. The mother showed pregnant and wore large man's pants with the zipper down and a shirt to cover her drum-tight belly. Even then, the mother seemed old to Estrella. Yet, she hauled pounds and pounds of cotton by the pull of her back, plucking with 2 swift hands, stuffing the cloudy balls into her burlap sack, the row of plants between her legs. The sack slowly grew larger and heavier like the swelling child within her. Today was Alejo's turn to bring the lunch. He had packed burritos made of fried potato and French's mustard wrapped in flour tortillas with fresh jalapenos crunchy like apples that he and Gumesindo ate quietly under the shade of the grapevines. His Dodger cap rested on his knee. Estrella sat under a vine. The sun shone through, making the leaves translucent. She could see their bones, and she could see the inside of her water bottle when she held it up to measure its contents. The water was tepid with particles floating like pieces of exploded stars in space, and she drank in deep gulps, long and hard. Alejo struggled with a piece of newsprint paper. His grandmother had reassured him this fieldwork was not forever. And every time he awoke to the pisca, he thought only of his last day here and his first day in high school. He planned to buy a canvas backpack to carry his books, a pencil sharpener, and bobcat book covers, and planned to major in geology after graduating. He loved stones and the history of stones because he believed himself to be a solid mass of boulder thrust out of the earth and not some particle lost in infinite and cosmic space. With a simple touch of a hand and a hungry wonder of his connection to it all, he not only became a part of the earth's history, but would exist as the boulders did, for eternity.